Hey. Everybody, welcome back. Second half hour of our history lesson today, the War of 1812. And on the time spectrum, we are at, I believe you said, 1809, the Intercourse Act?
Right. Well, 1807. The Embargo Act of 1807, the year following the Non-Intercourse Act. So France and England are at war, and each side, France, doesn't want us to trade with the other. And so by this time, Madison's in a and before him, Jefferson, and before him, Adams, were trying to maintain our neutrality. But again, the Jefferson was more sympathetic to the French, as was Madison, where Adams was more sympathetic to the British. But both Adams and Jefferson managed to maneuver and keep us out of war, to entering into that war. But we want to trade with somebody. And remember, the English did more impressment of our sailors than the French. The French did some of that too, but not like the English. And another issue was on the forts that were in the Northwest Territory, current Michigan, the English were stirring up Indians to fight against us. And the English had never completely left the forts that they had promised to leave. Fort Dearborn, which is near Chicago, Fort Detroit. Fort Niagara, and we didn't like that, and so we didn't want to go to war, but we felt like we had to stand up for ourselves. Now here's another irony of history. In we had been since 1810, 1811, telling Great Britain stop rescind this orders in council. Okay, rescind it, and we were appealing to Napoleon to rescind his decrees, in which he said that we couldn't trade with England. Napoleon kind of outmaneuvered the British and said basically this: look, if you won't trade with England, you can trade with us, more or less. That's what he said. And the British, it was hurting their economy too. And on in April of 1812, we asked them again to, hey, rescind these things so we can trade with you. And so Britain was ready to suspend the orders of council, and they did so on June 16th. But since there was no way to really communicate across the Atlantic, we got so tired of it, and we declared war on June 18th. And we didn't get word for a month or however long it took at that time with the fastest clipper ships to get across the ocean. We didn't know. So we declared war on the 16th, on the 18th, 2 days earlier, they had rescinded what we wanted them to rescind, but it was too late. We were already at war. And that is just the kind of the way things happen. We went to war. If we'd have waited a little bit longer, we would not have had to go to war. Now, when we
I want to hold on that point. I want to clarify something. Because what you just said, because of the timing, is it was thrust upon us because of these attacks, these entanglements, the trade, all this was happening. And was it, I want to be clear on this, it was basically that Great Britain forced our hand. Is that an accurate interpretation of what you just said?
From Jefferson's perspective, yes. To uphold American independence and respect, we cannot be the little kid on the playground being pushed around by these bullies. And
right.
I think it is fair to say that Britain was a greater offender, offended us, did worse things to us than the French.
Right.
But Napoleon manipulated the whole situation. We go to war on June 18th, 2 days earlier, but we didn't know because of the communications, how slow it was, what we wanted. They rescinded, but nevertheless, we go to war.
They rescinded 2 days after we joined the war.
They rescinded 2 days before, but we didn't know.
Ah, gotcha. Because, we didn't have Instagram and Facebook and text messages. And so it the communication of that was delayed in getting to the president. And that's why Congress, was it actually declared by the Congress?
Yes, it was. We declared war on June 18th, 1812. That's why we call it the War of 1812. And sometimes it's also called the Second War for Independence.
Uh-huh. But you know, because that's more the way Goyke taught it to us, was because, again, and we're going to talk about it, I'm sure, attacking Washington, D.C., trying to burn down the White House, right here in northern Michigan on Mackinac Island, where I turned with the horse carriage, British Landing. I mean, we have ramifications of that war right here in northern Michigan.
Fort Mackinac, the island, and I think Fort Mackinac, Mackinac City. I'm not can give you all the details, but it was involved in this War of 1812. Now, by the way, the British had never completely abandoned the forts like they promised to after the Treaty of Paris, after the Revolution. Here was another complicating issue. I don't want to get this too complicated, but what about all the people that were loyalists that when the war started, they fled America and went to Canada? After the war was over, they came back and said, hey, we want our property back. It's still legally owned by us. And there was a big argument of, should we give them their property back? They didn't fight with us. And some of them were still British citizens, and they appealed to their government, and their government appealed to the United States government. Hey, you can't take property in America owned by British citizens like that. And we would respond with, well, we were in a war and they fled. And so there's a legitimate argument. Listen, most of the time when you have wars, there are two sides to the story. There just is. And this is no exception to that rule. When we started the War of 1812, when we got involved with the war, we only had 6,700 men in the entire United States military. Jefferson didn't believe in strong standing armies. See, he relied
more on the militias.
Yes. And so we did call out the militia for 100,000 men, but yes, obviously, the New England basically didn't even Madison when he called out for the men to New England didn't respond. New England called this Mr. Madison's war. There was talk of New England seceding from the Union because they were so opposed to the War of 1812. Now, they didn't, but you can see the division in the country. It was rather profound at this time. So we had a small army, and we won some victories, but like a lot of things, things went more bad than good. Eventually, We figured out that we had to get control of the Great Lakes. A fellow named Oliver Hazard Perry went to Lake Erie, built his own navy built his own ships on the lake, and eventually won the Battle of Lake Erie. The Lawrence, his flagship, defeated the British, and the famous line that he sent to William Henry Harrison, who had defeated the Indians out at the Battle of Tippecanoe, he said, "We have met the enemy and they are ours." So once we controlled the Great Lakes, that was good news in the West. However, the British defeated a small militia group in Maryland and left Washington, D.C. wide open. And they came and they landed in near Washington, D.C. and basically was almost undefended. And the United States government, including the President Madison, had to flee Washington, D.C. And one of the last things while they were fleeing was Dolly Madison, who was James Madison's wife. They were trying to get the portrait of George Washington removed, but they couldn't. So she took a knife and she had to cut it. They rolled it up and they left. And
also grabbed the copy of the Declaration of Independence, the original one. Did you know that?
I don't think I did, but I'm not
Smithsonian Institute, and also then going to where they actually have the document, in the gas that's in the secured bulletproof frame and it goes down in a vault at night.
Okay, right.
When they put it in that gas to preserve the document, Dolly Madison's fingerprints are on the back side of the declaration and her thumbprints on the front.
Okay. All right. I did not know that.
And from the smoke that was going on in the White House, there was a chemical reaction with the smoke, and her fingerprints, her oil, got embedded in the original signed Declaration of Independence that she went back into the White House and grabbed not only Washington's portrait, but the Declaration of Independence.
Okay, very good. I know that she grabbed a lot of papers and important things in that portrait of George Washington done by Gilbert Stuart.
Yeah.
By the way, Madison did not, he was not a soldier. He was the smallest of all of our presidents, James Madison.
Yep. But he was a shrimp.
Yeah, he was the smallest, and he did not, and he fled. Well, okay, just leave that alone. He fled, I guess, so what? But James Monroe, who had fought with Washington,
yep,
and was on his staff and was one of the men that crossed the Delaware when they surprised the Hessians at Trenton, he fought bravely, slowed them up so that everybody could escape. And the British burned the White House, or set it on fire, and the Capitol. But fortunately, there was a downpour that night and put it out. And it was those things were able to be rebuilt. But a lot of the because of the fire and the smoke and the soot that was in the let me put it this way, that was in the residence of the president, they had to whitewash everything, and that's where we get the name the White House.
The White House, yes,
because absolutely. Of the smoke caused. So they fled,
yep.
Now, after that, they went to they attacked Fort McHenry near Baltimore there, that island there.
Oh, yeah.
In Chesapeake Bay, but the fort did not surrender. The flag stood. Francis Scott Key.
Yes.
He was a British prisoner, but he watched the battle, and all night he watched, but in the morning the flag was still there. And from there is where we get the Star Spangled Banner, which became the national anthem.
Got a question texted in for the teacher. We're heading into the break. What's the Rothschild role in the War of 1812? The Rothschild family. If you know, we'll find out on the other side. Final segment of today's history lesson. We'll be right back. The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910. Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Find everything you need to ride at Northern Leathers and Accessories, where comfort and style meet no matter the season. Find parts, equipment, and other products for motorcycles, snowmobiles, and ATVs, including products from Drag Specialties, Parts Unlimited, Moose Utilities, Lucas, and Champion Power. Plus apparel for men, women, and children, including big and tall sizes. Quality items at prices you can afford. Stop in today to browse our selection located on US 131 in Elba. We are more than just leathers.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Excellent, excellent lesson plan and discussion this morning. Greatly appreciate it. Did you have an opportunity to ponder that text message I sent to you about Patriot Jim wanting to know that answer to that question?
Yes, I pondered it very quickly, and I have no idea.
Okay, and he also said if you could research and talk about, if you know, about the lost 13th Amendment. Do you know anything about that?
I know that there were a lot of amendments at the Constitutional Convention that were suggested. And there were many, many, many. It was in the 20s, and we came back with 10. So specifically, the 13th, I do not know. But I know there were a lot of them that didn't make it. That I know.
Now, Mr. Goyke, I don't know if this is something he interjected, if this is a fact, or you can verify this, but he said that he thought there was actually 13, possibly 14, and somebody stood up in Congress and said we had the Ten Commandments and that we should limit it to 10, and that was the driving filter that they argued and debated about that caused them to get rid of the lost amendments.
That is possible, but there were a lot suggested. There were a lot of suggested that I know. Now, the line about the Ten Commandments, it sounds reasonable, but I do not know. Hey,
okay.
Hey, listeners, I do not know everything. There you go.
Contrary to popular belief, right?
Yes. Yes. I do not know that the answer to that.
Okay.
So the fort stood. Now, here's what happened. In Europe, while we're fighting, or at least part of the time, you've got Napoleon fighting against the rest of Europe. Britain, Russia, different parts of Europe are fighting in what are called the Napoleonic Wars. In the end,
yep.
Napoleon meets his Waterloo, and he's defeated.
Yep.
And so now, when France and England, when they cease to be at war, the whole reason for the war kind of stops, okay? Now, but Britain still, after they defeated the French, Britain and a bunch of allies from Europe defeat the French, who were the dominant power in Europe at the time. Now England's going to try to really show us something. Would they have tried to take the Louisiana Territory from us? Possible, but nevertheless, they're coming and they're going to take New Orleans, or so they think, and they attack New Orleans. But there was a general there, Old Hickory, Andrew Jackson, who really had a holy hatred for the British. He is a young boy. I think he was 12 in South Carolina, North Carolina. He was not old enough to fight in the Revolution, but a British captain had taken him captive and taken out a sword and sliced a big scar on his head, and he did not like the British, Andrew Jackson. Yeah. And he did a good job. The Battle of New Orleans was it was the biggest victory of the war. And that was in January of 1815, and the army that he had put together defeated the British. Now here's the second irony of this war. In February of 1814, the Treaty of Ghent had been signed in December. So the Battle of New Orleans was fought in January of 1815. The treaty had already been signed, but we didn't know until right. afterward.
Until
and so the war started when it really didn't need to.
When it didn't need to.
And the war
but how much did we help in the defeat of Britain?
Okay, we defeated them. So we can say we won the War of 1812. And the British were decisively defeated at the Battle of New Orleans.
I understand, but I'm talking about also then with consequence the French won.
The French won, W-O-N? What do you mean? No, the French lost. The French were defeated by
okay,
the British.
Okay, that's what they were defeated in Europe, but we won yes. in America.
Yes.
That was the point I was wanting to get clarification on, because I didn't fully understand, because that's where Napoleon was defeated, and that's where you're saying his Waterloo took place, and that's where he was actually defeated. It was over.
It's over. And he was exiled to an island, but then escaped, raised an army. And yep. then he was defeated again. So he again. Had two big defeats.
Well, we're going. I'm going to reach out to the owner of the Northern Michigan Cinemas, and we're going to do a movie night in Gaylord of this movie, Napoleon.
Okay.
I'm going to reach out and ask her to allow me, the radio station, this show, to do a movie night just for our listeners, not advertised, open to the public, but a private showing of that movie the week of Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And hopefully you could join us, you
maybe.
And Betty.
Maybe.
And I'll even buy your popcorn.
Okay.
We'll have you there. We're excited. This is great. Great timing. I think this movie might end up being movie of the year.
I have not researched the movie to know. Is it? I personally like movies that are historically accurate.
This is historically packed. They've got battle scenes. I don't know if this is accurate or not. But he had the soldiers out on a lake. They didn't know it was a lake. And he started shooting cannonballs and drowned them. This guy was ruthless.
Wow.
And it's
okay. Here are the results of War of 18.
Real quick.
Okay, quickly. Nationalism. We are a strong country. We gained respect around the world.
Yep.
It lifted Andrew Jackson up. He would eventually become president. And I hear the music. God bless you guys.
God bless you. We'll see you, hear you on the radio on Sunday, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Be a smart consumer this year. It's time for a new set of all-season tires. Or get a complete set of snow ice tires and winter wheels custom-sized to your vehicle. Bolt them on and store your summer tires and factory wheels for the winter. Stop by Royal Tire at 402 West Mitchell Street in Petoskey and order yours today. Don't wait till everybody needs them. Stop into Royal Tire in Petoskey today and beat everyone else. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
It's fall in Tuscarora Township and Indian River. A beautiful symphony of nature's dazzling colors of ambers, reds, and yellows. Golden Burt Lake sunsets and the crisp, clean air of northern Michigan. Enjoy our beautiful trails and byways. Fish and boat our clean waters. And meet the friendly people in our community.
Township Supervisor Bob Kramer, we love this place, and you will too. That's why I paid for this message.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum.